Hey, listen. I know I'm crazy. I just don't get a check, but I'm working on it. Amen. Hey, I've been shocked how many people down here this week told me they want a crazy check too. I know two or three that's on the borderline. Don't look at me like that. He gives me a fit. Listen, don't y'all worry about him. He can handle himself. Hey, it's been a real honor and a joy. I'm glad to see everybody. Some of you are my choicest friends, and I love being around you. And I was thinking today, years ago when I came here, I was pastoring in Ohio, and back in the 70s, and that's when you was in the old building, Miss Betty, and I never will forget, I came here and stayed 17 days. I preached three times a day on the radio, in chapel, and then every night. I preached some things I'm not real sure of. I'm just picking. But boy, what a time. Do y'all remember that, Miss Betty? You remember Brother Jay? Wasn't that good? I don't know how many people got saved, but it's a bunch of people got saved. And then I got in my camper after 17 days now, three times a day, got in my camper and drove all the way, me and my family, all the way to Lake Mary, Florida. And literally, my eyes would not focus. I got in, pulled in, just in time for services. And I was supposed to, if you remember, we was taking it day by day. You remember that, Brother Jay? And the preacher was upset at me in Lake Mary, Florida, because I was here. And I told him, I said, as long as the Lord's working, I'm not leaving. Y'all taking something valuable, Prozac, haven't you? Okay, so I got there. I just run through the shower, put my clothes on. In fact, Mary and him come in late because I didn't want to be late for the services. So I went straight to the services, and priest and four people got saved. I never will forget that. Four people got saved, and I couldn't even, my eyes wouldn't even focus. Ain't that a sight? I drove over 17 hours, my soul. But I appreciate it. God knows I love this church. I do. And I've had some wonderful times here. Great day in the morning. I used to preach all the time to the high school. And then they give me the little kids. I'm talking about Gene Dames. That's who I'm talking about. That's how four me and him go back. Lord help us. Let's get off of that. I told him, I was telling about Brother Jay, that head of hair. That's sinful to have a head of hair like that. He wanted to know he wanted to cut some of that off and give it to me. Oh, save it up, Jay. We'll do something. We will use crazy glue on it or something. Hey, the book of 2 Timothy. Got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Thank God, right kind, it'll count. Amen. Open your Bible, the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would, please. And we'll start reading in chapter 2. So many of you have asked, I've got to leave tonight, and I've got a meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I don't know if Brother Lawrence has told you this. How far are we from Paducah? How many miles? Is it that far? So that would be what? 90? Well, our radio station, WTHL, King of Kings, they bought a radio station, a huge radio station in Paducah, and it goes over into the Missouri and the lower part of Illinois. Then it goes that blanket parts of Tennessee. I didn't know if you could get it or not, but it's 97.1, King of Kings on 97.1. I didn't know. But anyway, if you can get it, and you can let me know, I sure would appreciate it to see how far we're going out. I've done got two or three letters from people. You'll love this. This man called me up and he said, "Are you Preacher Sisson?" I said, "Yes, sir. Can I help you?" Trying to be nice. He said, "How was you baptized?" I said, "I was immersed." No, he said, "I mean, how was you baptized?" I said, "I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I used baptized wrong." Boy, he just jumped on me both feet. And I said, "Well, sir, I'm not trying to argue with you." And I said, but the Bible says that who can forbid water which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Well, anyway, then he said, "Well, tell me this." He said, "Was you baptized in the name of Jesus only?" I said, "No, I just told you I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." He said, "Have you spoken tongues?" I said, "I speak in 4 or 5 different languages." I said, "Some my wife don't even understand." He said, "I got to go," and he hung up. He was from Paducah. I'll live over it. Book of 2 Timothy, please. Find your place. You'll love this. We was fighting that liquor crowd, son, up there in Placer County. We was fighting that liquor crowd with everything we had. And this man called me up, and he said, "You Preacher Sisson?" I said, "Yes, sir." It was about a quarter after, maybe 20 after 1. I come on at 1 o'clock. He said, "Do you carry a gun?" I said, "Well, I've been known to have one nearby." He said, "Click." He just hung up on me. He is trying to intimidate me. Have y'all taken something? He is trying to intimidate me, but that's all right. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. Find your place. Ready? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to young Timothy. And he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to do something for me. How many of you have got an old Scofield Bible? Would you raise your hand? Old Scofield. I want you to look at the subtopic. Look at the subtopic where it says, "The path of a good soldier in the time of what?" What, brother? Apostasy. Now, I want you to keep that thought in your mind. He says, "The path of a good soldier in the time of apostasy." Apostasy is this, we're in a time of falling away. We're in a time when people not only reject the truth, they've heard the truth, they reject the truth, they've not received the truth, but now then we're in a period of time when the book of 2 Thessalonians 2, when God is pouring out a strong delusion that they believe a lie because they receive not the love of the truth. Now keep this thought in your mind. Look, if you would, in verses 2. "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Look in verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth, he must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now watch the next verse. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of the Lord is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also reign with him." Next verse. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, therefore charging them before the Lord, that they may strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers." Now, if you will, take your pen, and I want you to look in verse 2. "And the things," I want you to put your circle around the things, and then draw you a circle down to verse 14. "Of these things," there it is again. Then drop over to verse 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these," there it is, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I pray, God, tonight, honor the word of God, honor the preaching. Lord, you chose the foolishness of preaching. Set a guard at my lips, and God, please tonight, may I, Lord, preach the unsearchable riches. May they see Jesus in a manner they've never, ever seen him. Help us, I pray. Thank you for our military men. God, our men, women, Lord, drop a hedge around them and keep them out of harm's way. Thank you, Lord, for our freedoms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to go back in 2 Timothy, and I want you to write this down on your flight if you buy them. Go down and look, if you would, in verse 3. "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Brother Lawrence pulled down a few moments ago up where I'm staying in my trailer up here. He pulled down, and I was talking to a first lieutenant down in North Carolina. He's a lieutenant, and he's a good man. I mean, a godly man, and loves the Lord. And he loves. You can't hardly get him to talk about it. He's in special ops. He's been involved in all kinds of things, but you can't hardly get him to talk about it. And he's going through a deep trial. He's wanting so much to be used of God. He wants so much to just branch out. He doesn't care about his military. All he wants to do is do a work for God. That's commendable. Now, go back and I want you to look back in verse 3. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Matt told me this. He's got a nice wife, got two nice children. And Matt, that's his name. We were talking about how, I said, son, you're going to have to cut the strings and just launch out in the deep. And I said, if you're wanting to do a work for God, he said, Tina, that's his wife, said, she'll go with me. Anywhere that God places us, she'll go with me. Boy, isn't that a blessing to have a wife like that? I mean, honestly, for God, I praise God, the name of God for Mary. If I went home and I said, Mary, God wants us to go to East Siberia, she'd just start packing her clothes. Now, that's a blessing to have a wife like that. Amen. And this is a real problem in a lot of in some men's lives. They have a mate that will not disrupt their lives. They won't do it. But what I'm saying is, this boy Matt and Tina got two children. They want to live. They want to honor God. They want to live for God. And here's what Matt told me. He said, Brother Sisson, when I was on tour in Africa, he had to spend 1 year in Africa away from his wife and his children. He said, when we were on tour, or when we were deployed, go back and look in verse 3, endure the, what, as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. So we are soldiers, but we're on tour. Boy, I'm saying this is going to be rough. When I thought about this, and I look at you, how do you become a good soldier? The Bible says in verse 4, he says, he's chosen him to be a soldier. There's a day in our lives that God bought us off of a slave block. He bought it. He owns us. What know you not that you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's, for you're not your own. Everybody likes the part about a sheep in John 10. My sheep know my voice. They like that. And a lot of people, they like the part about the sons in 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears we shall be like him. And Romans chapter 6, Paul says, reckon yourself to be a servant. All right, all of these start with an S. But here he's talking about a soldier. A soldier is on tour. Let me say this, I said this morning. If you went to Vietnam, or if you went to Korea, or if you fought in any part of the military, or you was in the military, thank God for you. Amen. Went to Desert Storm. Hey, I revere and I respect service people. I am not worth killing. Brother Gene, when I go, I have had the privilege of going to Atlanta, Georgia. I've been to the VA hospital in Atlanta. I've been to the VA hospital in Salisbury, North Carolina, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I've been to the Veterans Hospital in Cincinnati. Name it, I've been there. But I am not worth killing when I come out of a Veterans Hospital. I'm not worth killing. Most of them are drunks. Now, I don't know whether y'all like this or not, but I don't like our country using our military for guinea pigs. I personally think they ought to have the best out there, the best of the best. I do. But I mean, you go into a veterans hospital and legs is missing and arms is missing. Their eyes is missing. I'm just not worth killing after I go into a veterans hospital. But I look at those men and I think about this. And Betty, Kathy, somebody help me. Sandra, Sharon, I'll get it right in a minute. Give me the words, that song that little kids used to learn. I'm in the Lord's army. Come on. But I'm. Yes, sir. I remember that when I can't remember all the words of it, but I mean, I remember that song when I was a little boy. Sing it. Say it again, Kat. Just give me the words. You don't have to sing it. Just give me the words. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry. I may never shoot the artillery. Zoom over the enemy. Okay, go. But I'm in the Lord's army. All right, listen to me. So there's a day in mind in your life that God saved us. He took us out of darkness and put us into light. Am I right? There's a day in our life, brother. He stepped into a little piece of dirt and he owns us. He owns us. Let me say that again. He owns us. But now the point I want you to get is, in order to be a good soldier, I believe you have to desire to be a good soldier. Go back and look in your Bible. You have to desire to be a good one. What do you mean? I mean a good soldier, not a mediocre soldier, but I mean a good soldier. Well, preacher, listen. When brother was singing a moment ago, the song leader, talking about God is faithful. Why can't we be faithful? All right, if He loved us enough to come into this sin benign world and die and pay our sin debt, I owe a sense of gratitude to my Savior. I can be found faithful, amen. I'm going to do that, Brother Jay. Moreover, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. How many of you remember Andy Griffith? How many of you remember when Ernest T. Bass came to town? How many of y'all remember? Do y'all remember what he done when he come to town? He throwed rocks through windows. How many of y'all remember that he tore up all of Mayberry? And when they found out what was wrong with him, do y'all remember that he wanted a uniform? How many of y'all remember that? And so Andy made Barney to take his uniform off and give it to Ernest C. Bass. Well, I got to thinking, I believe that's what most people, they just want a uniform. They just want the uniform. Hey, it's more than just wanting a uniform. You have to desire, you have to want to be a good soldier, amen. Hey, I want you to get this. Boy, I mean tonight, I don't want to be just a mediocre. I know I want God, when I go into heaven, I want Him to say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. That ought to be everybody's desire, amen. A good soldier, what do you mean, preacher? We're on tour, amen. What do you mean, brother, sister? I don't want just a uniform. Hey, I want to be a good soldier, dear God, for the Lord Jesus. Amen, sister. I do believe this. How many of y'all remember a man by the name of Sergeant Alvin York? Hey, Brother Don, where are you at? You and Miss Swan, I want to give you some place to go. You're always needing some place to go. I love to pick at him. I want you to go to a place called Pall Mall, Tennessee. Did I strike a nerve there with anybody? Don't y'all know who Alvin York is? Raise your hand. Sergeant Alvin York. All right, I want you to go to Pall Mall, Tennessee. It's a beautiful place, but that is where that Sergeant Alvin York is from. Pall Mall, Tennessee. All right, listen to this. Look what a man by the name of Alvin York did. Hey, if you go back in World War One and look what that man accomplished. Look at the Germans. Look at the enemies that he killed. And when he came home, the state of Tennessee had bought the land for him and his wife. And you can go there and see all of this. Thank God. God give us some more Alvin Yorks, amen. How many of y'all remember a man by the name of, let me get my head thinking. Sometimes I don't take my pill and it goes away. The one's got the stripe around it, Jerry. You know what I'm talking about. How about a man by the name Audie Murphy? How many of y'all remember that man's name? How many of you know the name Audie Murphy? The most decorated World War II hero was Audie Murphy. I'm just naming names. I mean, you have to desire to want to be a good soldier, amen. Not the mediocre kind. I mean, you got to decide. He said, I want to be a good soldier. Now remember, Paul is talking to Timothy in the middle of the apostate. Now hang on when it comes. Now watch it. You got a desire to be a good soldier. Number two, you have a duty to perform. What I find, everybody in this day and time, especially in this day and time, we have a duty to perform, but they shirk their responsibilities. I never will forget it. Y'all ever heard of a man by the name of Cassius Clay? Cassius Clay. When I was a kid, we lived in Louisville. We used to go down on Market Street, and I've seen Cassius Clay. He was a street fighter. On every Friday night, we went down to Market Street, and we would watch Cassius Clay fight. He's now what's called Muhammad Ali, for those of you that want to know. Personally, I have no use for Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. Let me tell you why. He was a deserter. But Brother Sisson, what you're trying to be mean. No, I'm not. Anybody that would desert our country, go to Muslims or Islam, I have no use for them. They're an enemy to our country. Amen, Sisson. I know people don't believe it. But I'm saying we have a duty to perform as a good soldier. That's a requirement. Don't go AWOL. Don't go to sleep at your post, amen. Lord, help us. Y'all look like y'all taking something. I don't know what y'all taking. But we have a responsibility. That is, we're not to go to sleep. You know, I'm 71 years old. We'll soon be. But in years gone by, in the military, that if you went to sleep at your post, not only would they take and they would court-martial you, sometimes they would, especially if it was if an enemy combatant, they're apt to get shot. Our day and time, people don't take this thing responsible. They don't take Christianity, what I call real Christianity. They say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I can live any way I want to. Not if you're saved, you can't. They ought to be something down inside of you, way down in there, that you want to please God and that you have a duty to perform, and every one of us perform that duty, amen. What do you mean, preacher? Listen, I went to Canada, escaped the military. I was Class A, Category 4, married under 26, and 11th on the list to go to Nam. But I went, just like Brother Lawrence. Yes, sir, I'd have went. Why is it so quiet in here? Here's my tie crooked. Straighten my tie up, Jay. I'm talking about men that shirk their responsibility and just lay aside their responsibility. Just like Christ means nothing. The church don't mean nothing. The cause of Christ means nothing. Material things mean more. Money means more. Everything means more. And you got children dying and going to hell. Amen. Got grandkids lost, just like I have. And our responsibility, we have a duty. That is to love God with all of our heart, body, mind, and soul. Amen. But I see people, they don't want to be a good soldier. They don't want to fulfill their duties. Especially in this 20-year 15 we're living. I thought about stay at your post. Amen. Stay at your post. Don't go AWOL. If you want to know what that means, that absent without leave. Boy, I thought about Preacher Buck. I keep thinking about him. Boy, I've had the privilege of seeing that. I know this upsets some people. See, death don't bother me like it does some people. That's like Tom sitting there this morning. If you know your mate or if you know that person is saved, and if you know what the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if you know that, and I've been with some people that left this world. Hey, Brother Earl, I've helped men's hands. I've literally helped their hands like this right here. And I've watched them leave this world over into the other world, me holding their hand. And look here, and that peace on not struggle, not fighting death. They are, look here, I've helped their hand and watched them go out in his eternity like that. It's almost like a, what's the right adjective? It's like some kind of experience that I've never experienced because there's angelic beings in that room to carry them into the presence of God. And I don't find that sad. Well, that's the kind of way I want to leave. I don't want to be one of them that I'm not terrified of it. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. Would y'all say amen? I don't want God to be ashamed of me, amen. I thought about the third thing. I thought about this. You have to have discipline in your life to be a good soldier. A lot of us don't know what that is. I'm talking about now then, everything in the world can get in the church and nothing gets out of the church. They can live like hell itself. They can do everything in the world in churches. It's like a club. It's like an organization. They can just do any kind of ship child life, live any kind of way, get involved in every kind of thing. Nobody, what? No accountability. No accountability. What I'm saying is, I believe all of us, in order to be a good soldier, you have to have the right kind of discipline. Now, Matt, that boy, that lieutenant, he spent for special ops. Then I've got another friend of mine. He's a Navy SEAL. Boy, do I love talking to him. I can't even imagine some of the things them guys go through. But I mean, in order to discipline themselves and to get in that special ops group, you have to learn discipline, amen. Our day and time, people do not want discipline in their life. Hey, how many of y'all know anything? Raise your hand. Was you in the military, Doc? Was you in the Army? Can you imagine that? Him defending our country. Look out now. Listen to this. Do you remember, Brother Crowley? They made you spit shine your shoes. They made you polish your belt buckle. Am I preaching Greek to you people? Look here, your sergeant, give me a quarter. I ain't got no money. Give me a nickel, a dime, or something. Give me a quarter, Kathy. Ain't that pitiful? Somebody give me a quarter. Throw me a quarter. Just throw it. I'll catch it. Throw it. If I can see it. Look here. Look here. Now watch. The sergeant would do this on your bed. He'd flip it up, and if it hit that, it better bounce. Or he'd jerk it off and make you redo it. Why is that, Brother Simpson? What I'm saying is, that sounds like a stupid thing, but you have to learn discipline in the military. We need to learn discipline in order to be a good soldier, amen. It's like my grandson. I told him that Friday night, I'm going to give this quarterback, he's about to die. Yes, it is. It's bothering you. I'm going to give it back. There. I'm going to get it back in a minute. Hey, Brandon and Dylan, my grandson, he's 18 going on 40. Dylan, my grandson, you heard me talk about Dylan. My wife, if Dylan come in and burnt the house down, my wife would say it needed burning. That's my wife. Honestly, she thinks the sun rises and sets in him. Now, I love the boy, but I got enough sense to know he needs discipline in his life. Now, his grandmother don't want me disciplining him. Yes, sir, Brother Earl. Won't you listen to this? We had put down new hardwood floor in our kitchen. The little old line on the refrigerator had busted, and it just ruined the floors. So I tore it all up, put down new, me and Junior did. We put down new hardwood floor and had it all finished. I come in about a week or two later, and Dylan was down in the floor, and he had flour all over the floor. And he had this little truck, and he was going through there, and I said, "What in the world is that on that floor?" My wife said, "Flour." I said, "Well, what is flour doing on the floor?" She said, "Dylan was playing in it like it was snow." She said, "Don't worry, it'll clean up. Don't worry, it'll clean up." Dylan was about, 9 or 10 or whatever. I burned wood. I got a fireplace, got an insert. I kept telling him, I said, "Dylan, get away from there. You're going to get burnt." He's over there doing whatever he's doing. I told him about 5 or 6 times. And she said, "Mel, leave him alone. He'll be all right." I said, "Okay, if he touches that fireplace and burns his hand, I don't want to hear you say nothing." It wasn't about 10 minutes later. That kid screamed. Now, you couldn't even see a spot. Here she come, like a mother hen, you know. I said, "I told you. Now, watch this. You couldn't hire him to play on that hearth again. You can't get him. But we all need the right kind of discipline. We all agree. I told Brandon and them this all talking about. I said, boys, what are y'all going to do when you get out of high school? I said to them Friday night, I said, "What are y'all going to do when you get out of high school?" Dylan kept real quiet. He's always said he's going to go join the Army. That's what Dylan said. He's going, you know what? I do some dumb things. I love that boy. I had an 02 Chevrolet pickup truck. And he liked that truck. It's the only truck I ever had that air conditioning power steering. "Grandpa, I like that truck. So I told Mary, I said, "I'm going to give it to him. I'm not going to give him the truck. I'm going to make him work for it. And I said, I'm going to let him have it for graduation present." So I cleaned that thing up, had the motor cleaned. I had it spotless. And I presented it to him for his graduation gift. So I drive an old ragged out truck, ain't got power steering nor air conditioning. My mind left me that day. Now listen to this. So Dylan and Brandon is what you call his dad walked off and left him, so he don't have a dad. And so Brandon is, he stays at our house. He sort of stays at our house. And I like Brandon. And Brandon said, "I am tired of my stepdad. I'm tired of my mom. I'm tired. And Brandon sort of got a rebellious streak about that wide in him. And he said, "Me and Dylan's going to go to the Army." Well, Dylan didn't say nothing. I said, "Hey, Brandon, I encourage you, brother, join the military." I said, "That's exactly what you need to do with your life. Join the military." He just said he didn't like nobody telling him what to do. I said, "Hey, join the military. They'll tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, how far, how they'll cut your hair." He's got real pretty black hair. I can just see it now when they burr it off. But I'm saying we need the right kind of discipline. We all agree with that. In order to be a good soldier, we need to. So you try to encourage people, study your Bible. We need to encourage people, you know, fight a good fight. Amen. Not each other, but fight a good fight. And you need to get people to, you know, have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Not just something where you come in, sit down, get up, and go home. Amen. There's more to Christianity than that. But I mean, in order to be a good soldier on tour, you have to desire to be a good soldier. Number two, you have to have you've got a duty to perform. Could I ask you a question, Gene? Look at me. Where would you like to exit this world from if Jesus was to call you home? Okay? That's a good thing. Pulpit. That'd be good. Wonderful. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Just use it for a launching pad. That'd be a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. How about down on your knees? That'd probably be good. How about winning a person to the Lord and about that time he called you home? That'd be good, wouldn't it? I don't know how people think. I don't know what their mentality is. But if we live long enough, one day you're going to exit this world. You're going to exit this world. We're on tour, but I want to be a good soldier. Amen. Now, drop down, if you don't mind, right quick. Look in your Bible. Now, this is going to get good, if you will. The cream's going to come to the top. Look, if you don't mind, in verses 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Did y'all see that? Let me read it again. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, hath chosen to be a good soldier. I can't even imagine, Brother Crowley. I can't imagine. My mind won't go there. I can't even imagine people that's got house payments of $2,600 and $2,700 a month. I mean, honestly, I know of people that's got, they're stressed to the max. They work 40, 50, 60 hours a week just to pay the bills. But look what kind of bills they made them. They're stressed out. The wife never has time with the husband. Husband never has time with the wife. One works second. One of the works days. And they go here and they go there, never together. Can't you see how the devil would tear a family up like that? I see it so much. And people are so ingrained. They've got their roots sunk into this world like they're going to be here forever. And we ain't going to be here forever. Now watch this. Let's go back. He don't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. You have to stay at your post. You got a duty before. You have to have the right kind of discipline. You have to have. I don't know about anybody else. I don't want to get personal, but I don't know what you do, but I believe this in my heart. I believe in order to be a good soldier, you ought to discipline yourself to want to please him who died for you. Number four, you ought to be aware of the dangers. I come home, and my wife, but Kim and Al, my son-in-law, and my grandkids had come home. And they said, Grandpa, sit down here with us and watch this show. And it was Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. Do y'all remember a man by the name of Lieutenant Dan? How many of y'all remember the man? I remember his name. Lieutenant Dan. Do you remember what Forrest Gump done? Do you remember him running back into the jungles and carrying those men out on his shoulder? How many of y'all remember that? I mean napalm. Son, they lit her up. Don't y'all remember that? In that movie, they lit that thing up. He run back in there and was carrying these men out on his shoulder. And he laid them down and he brought that man, Lieutenant Dan, out. His legs was gone. Well, that got a hold of me. And I thought to myself, think about it. Think about the dangers. Used to, in the military, they'd say, take care of your feet. Because if I want to get him out of the battle, all I've got to do is wound his feet. Well, our feet's supposed to be shod with the gospel. I understand all that. But I'm saying, there's dangers out there. You tell young people, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil to combat every day of your life. There's enemies out there. I told my grandson, don't ever smoke the first cigarette. Don't do it. Don't get involved. Don't let them ever coax you into smoking marijuana. There's dangers. Oh, my granddaughter, Kelsey, boy, she's a trip. Her and my wife have cloned each other. You ought to try living in my house with Kelsey and Mary. And they're so much alike. You ought to try living that. You know Kelsey. Well, I've given her these life talks for years and years. Kelsey, wait up on the Lord. God will bring somebody into your life. Wait up on the Lord. God will bring somebody into your life. Quit dating these things out here. There's a few times I started to run the things off. Well, I did run off one. So God brought a boy into her life. He loves the Lord. Got a relationship with the Lord, a good relationship. And I'm talking about, I believe this all in my heart. I believe the boy's pure. He's never kissed Kelsey. He don't want to kiss. What I mean is they don't want their marriage started out on lust. Okay. I've talked to him. But listen, my point is, watch this. There's dangers. You can mess your life up in a drop of a hat. And your life is messed up. There's dangers. If you want to be a good soldier, you have to be aware of the dangers out there. I try my best to scream and holler. Watch what you let go through your eye gate. Watch what you let go through your ear gate. There's some of this stuff that I tell you I get so annoyed at. They call it music. It ain't music. There's some of this stuff out here. Once you get this stuff in your mind, are y'all listening to me? It ain't no wonder so many people are so depressed. It's no wonder that they have no joy in their life. It ain't no wonder to me when they come to church, they can't have a meeting with God. You know the reason why? They got their minds on the secular things out there in the world. Come in on Saturday. They come in on Sunday morning, try to meet with God. They've not read their Bible all week. They've not even talked to God. They've not witnessed to God. What I'm saying is, listen to me, you have to have discipline, but there's dangers in your life if you're going to be a good soldier. Now hang on, let's go right quick, watch. I thought about this. Now watch. The wounded sometimes has to be carried. I appreciate what the brother said this morning about the Sunday school. We're to bear each other's burdens. There's people, Brother Lawrence and I just haphazardly skipped. You don't know what goes on behind the scene. There's some people that you don't know how they're so close to just fixing to jump off the ledge. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Sometimes we ought to be hefty enough to carry burdens of people. Love people. Be there for them. Try to help them. Bear you one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes the dangers and sometimes people have to be carried. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Brother Lawrence will be. I don't know if he'll admit this. I know he will. Sometimes I get weary. Anybody other than me get weary? When you just deal with problem after problem after problem after problem and problem, and you tell them the antidote, you tell them the recipe, but they won't listen. This narcissistic age, they won't listen. You can beg and plead and beg and plead and show them chapter and verse, and they're so narcissistic. They want so much, they don't care what God says. They only want what they want. And sometimes I get weary with it. I do. I say it to my shame. And I try to be tolerant. I try to be patient. There's dangers. Let me show you something else right quick. Look in your Bible. There's sometimes the ultimate sacrifice, and that is death. In the realm of a soldier, did you know they'll become a band of brothers? Now, y'all can't see it. I've had them all off. Just about got them off. Used to, when we lived on the streets, what we would do is we'd take a needle. You take a thread and you wrap the needle. And you take that needle and then you dip it in Indian ink. And you tattoo your body. Especially all of us guys. We was just like, if you whooped one, you'd have to whoop all of us. We was just a closeness. We was just a band of hoodlums. Does that make any sense? That's really what we was, a band of hoodlums. And can you believe I took care of 5 or 6 of their funerals in the last few months? Some of them had no relationship with the Lord, none whatsoever. And I think about how that in the realm of a platoon of soldiers, the ultimate sacrifice is sometimes the very thing. They'll give their lives for their brothers. They'll literally give their life down for them. Jesus gave His life. I believe we ought to be willing to give our life to be spent for Him. Amen. I believe that. You don't see very many people. We was talking this past week. They're very affluent people, and they've got a daughter, and she just graduated, and she's going to Yale University. They're sending her to Yale. And the mother asked me, she said, "Now, I want you to listen to this. Preacher, if Carolyn would go to the mission field, what do you think her dad would do? I think her dad ought to be a happy camper. but I venture to say he won't be. If she marries that boy that she's dating and they go to the mission field, I'd say her daddy's going to be one unhappy daddy. Where I think we ought to be jumping up and down and thanking God. Amen. If I had a daughter and I knew that my son was going to give his life, amen, sister. What if you do climb the corner? I told my son, what good is it going to do you when you get to the get on top of the corporate ladder? What good is it going to do? Brother, sister, I told my boy, I said, son, he's a gifted person. Gifted. God could really use him. And I said, you ever heard this about the time you learn how to live? It's what? Time to die. Amen, sister. But a band of brothers will give their ultimate, they'll give their lives each for the other. Folks, we're in hand-to-hand combat. We wrestle not against principalities and powers, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, won't you watch this? Then he says in 2 Timothy 4, we're going to wind her down. Watch this. Watch. Boy, you need to write this on file if you Bible. In order to be a good soldier that's on tour, you have to desire to be one. You have to be sworn in. You literally, I wish I had the United States military code. And then you have to have a duty to perform. But nobody today wants to be responsible. They just seem like they neglect their duties. You have to have discipline in your life. Don't. The Bible says that if you look in verse 4, and it says what? The affairs of this life. Then watch this. You have to. They'll be aware of the dangers. And fifthly or fourthly, there's a death that is the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus gave his life for us that we might live forever. Just a soldier on tour. We was in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and was getting ready to leave. And was waiting on our flight. And these boys come in. And they're all in camouflage. And they all had their duffel bags on their back. I mean, they looked rough. Son, they, wherever them boys had been, they'd been out somewhere in the rough. Well, when I got that one boy's attention, he looked at me and I went over to him and I just got him by the hand and I said, son, God bless you for serving our country. And he held my hand and you could see his eyes just well up with tears. He probably 20 years old. I just hugged his neck. I didn't know him from a rank. I didn't know him from nobody. But I just hugged his neck. Amen. They didn't tell him where they'd been. I won't be a good soldier, Brother Gene. I won't be a good soldier. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.